Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
It's the holiday season, Josh, and I see I have both red arrows and green arrows, so I am definitely on Christmas brand.
You're on brand. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I was looking, I think it's actually been a full 2 weeks since we recorded. I don't know if that was always the plan, but just the way it works out with the fixtures and holiday travel and, yeah, so we've missed, it feels like about half the season has happened since our last podcast.
Right. Additionally, there's a lot going on around the holidays, but we kept chatting and pushing the recording back because we wanted to find just like the smallest possible hole in the fixture schedule to put something out that would actually be useful and listened to by our audience. So hopefully we're catching everyone at a good time where you're looking at what transfers you need to make at game week 21.
Right, exactly. Hopefully you had a Man United player today. Actually, really only two, right? You wanted to have Rashford or Pogba. I think if you had brought in, as I had very seriously planned or thought about, Lingard, today might be a frustrating day for you.
Yeah, our heart goes out to you, Jeff Petter. So, sorry.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Okay, so I mean, okay, here's how this podcast is going to go, right? We have a 2 day turnaround until the matches. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. We don't want to record a 90-minute podcast that's going to be irrelevant, in 2 days' time. So what we're going to do is do a quick recap of how, just a recap of the holiday fixtures. I'm going to answer just a couple of questions, and then we're going to look right at Game Week 21. And then after that's over, after Game Week 21 is completed, then we'll do more of a traditional recap, a longer preview. We'll have the FA Cup, coming up next weekend. So a little more time to catch our breath a little bit. But for now, we're going to do kind of a quick and dirty, for us anyway, short podcast. I think if we got this under 40 minutes, I think that would be a massive achievement for us. I don't think we've ever done a podcast under 40 minutes.
It's never happened, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I like it as a challenge.
So, Brandon, when last we spoke, you were in the midst of a drop, right? You had like things were not going well. After the podcast was recorded, you had probably your worst game week of like the last couple of seasons, maybe. I mean, it was a tough one.
Yeah, game week 18, I hit a game week rank of 5.2 million, and it was awful, and it was one of those game weeks in which you find yourself feeling like absolutely nothing is going right, and not going right in a way, and that the hole is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Right. So if you look back at game week 14, my OR was 5,827, my highest overall rank ever. And everything is going my way. I don't feel like too many challenges have presented themselves. Then I make a series of just terrible striker transfers, bringing in Lacazette and Mitro when they're not getting time or scoring. And then I bring in Aguero, and I've been having trouble squeezing any juice out of him.
Do you think that you fell into a trap of thinking like – of like trying to be clever, like, or like trying to like get one over on, like, do you think that, you were sort of, like you said, you were in the top 6K overall, which really hard to get up that high. And do you think that maybe you were like, you were overthinking things a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So the logic there is, oh, I'm starting to lose ground. My worst fear is that I drop out of the 10K. So I have to I have to sort of zig instead of zag to immediately get back. I don't want to lose that ground and never to be able to get it back. So act fast while you can. And then you put yourself in that frame of mind and you start to make silly decisions. Well, not silly decisions, but
like cute decisions, or like not cute's not the right word, but like just like overthinking it a little bit, right? It's like Aubameyang, no, let's go for Lacazette and save a couple million, that kind of, I don't know. Yeah.
The whole what could possibly go wrong situation. And this is all timed to over the month of December, we have just seen massive, massive point hauls from big players like Hazard. And now Pogba is up there. I'm trying to think of other players like Harry Kane, of course, and Aubameyang. All these players that I didn't have, and I'm trying to just bank on them being off, and then I'll have the differential. And that's what's really put me off. So I've been able to claw back up to, it looks like I'll be around 27. So I fell after that game week 18 score to 47K OR. Mm-hmm. Looks like I'm going to claw myself back at when the scores for game week 20 are tabulated to 27K. So that's good. And how I got here was I ended up making exactly as you're saying, like unsexy, sensible transfers. I brought in Marcus Rashford, who like, I mean, bless the kid, young talent, but he is to me like the least sexy FPL option in the forward lineup in recent memory. But, you know, you see Manchester's form brewing and you jump on him. Heung-min Son, he's got the Asian Cup hanging over his head like the sort of Damocles. But I see I need Spurs coverage, so to speak, or I'm not going to be able to get in Kane. Also, Son is on form, so I bring him in. And just I'll cede the floor in a moment, but
Lucas Dean too.
Okay, this is perhaps the luckiest I have ever been in FBL. Is I just had this hunch about Alonso and I dumped him for Lucas Dean right ahead of Dean's brace. Huge for me. So and I think you stopped your backslide with the Lucas Dean transfer as well. But here's the ultimate point I wanted to make is there are another frame of mind I can put myself in is, all right, things are going tough. I want to make the most bulletproof long-term transfer. And what you're going to end up doing is outthinking yourself. I had to commit to, it's not risky transfers, but effectively short-term transfers. Mm-hmm. So Dean, not so much, but Son and Marcus Rashford are absolutely short-term transfers, Son particularly with the Asian Cup,
and possibly Rashford now too if he has a hamstring injury
or the groin injury exactly. So it's kind of scary where I'm in the midst of clawing back, but I'm playing the game. Like I'm knee deep in the game. I am still having to be nimble. Ideally, you would bring in somebody. I mean, Pogba looks to be this guy right now. You just bring him in and he'll just continue to perform. And that's one less problem you have to deal with.
Right.
What I've done is I've brought in good assets that are at the same time problematic. So it's fun and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's, you know, both of us have sort of, I have sort of been very sensible as well. And I think what I was really conscious of was last year around the holidays, I had like a real injury crisis and I really made it worse by like taking a bunch of hits. Like I took a -8 last year to bring in, you know, the famous Holobas transfer. It was not good Holobas, like current Holobas. It was, although he got one pointer this week too. So Holobas around the holidays is a very tricky prospect. but it was, I had the kind of the same thing where I had, I think it was like, 4 or 5 red arrows in a row. I had gotten up to 13K and I dropped down to 56,000, which again, still a good spot to be. But obviously when you get really high, you want to stay up there, right? It's just, you know, it's just how it is. It's all relative, you know, if you're 500,000, your goal is not top 5K, at least right off the bat. The goal is to get from 500,000 to 400,000 and so on, you know? So anyway, but you know, in recent years, when things have started to go bad, I have like really spiraled and kind of panicked and tried to get too clever. And you have to think like you're in first place in your division. I think there's a site in your mini league or whatever. Like you have to act like, you know, like the only thing you want to do is make sensible, smart transfers. And there's this like sort of temptation to chase, you know, differentials, these like sort of low ownership players. But it's just not the right strategy until like game week 34 or something. You know, it's like if you do it this early, I mean, someone like Paul Pogba is an interesting case. Is he a differential or is he just a player, you know, a talented player who's reemerged? You know, I mean, this is like maybe a different conversation for a different podcast, but like, you know, as we said before, I mean, differential can turn into a bandwagon player very quickly, right? Like Paul Pogba goes off for 18 points, has a bunch of, you know, a lot of good game weeks still to come. Youngman Son is just about to leave for the Asian Cup. I mean, Paul Pogba is going, I bought him at 7.9 million. I bet he reaches 9 million by like the middle of January. You know, he's just going to climb and climb and climb. And so, yeah, was he a differential? I guess he was for maybe a week, but like he was a talented player. It wasn't like, you know, I brought in Robert Snodgrass for 1 week, right? Last week. And I immediately
also a talented player.
but like a player who like, you know, he's, a bit, but that's differential chasing, right? Like, yes, you know, it's, yes. You know, you kind of know who Snodgrass is. He has what, 7-8 years in the league. You know, the guy's never been, you know, he's not going to be a 15 goal 10 assist player this season for, he's not going to be Felipe Anderson for West Ham, you know? Yeah,
let's also stack the teacups here. He's playing on what could be the flakiest team in the division right now, West Ham.
Yeah. So I finally, I crawl back and I'm actually inside the top 10,000. It looks like the Fantasy Football Fix has me around 8,800 in the world right now, which is pretty exciting because it's been a long time since I've done this well. But I, you know, I think that it really, I don't know, but I think I really have been very sensible in my moves, you know? And I think that is really what you just have to continue to do. Even if your season feels like it's going off the rails, you just have to be sensible. You know, you just have to keep making the best decision. Like just don't think about your ranking when you're making these decisions. The biggest one for me was, you know, I had the same frustration with Alonso. I was sitting on two transfers. I felt like I really needed Man United coverage, and I just didn't feel like Snodgrass was going to get there for me. So I brought in I brought in Pogba for Snodgrass. I had to do it on Boxing Day. So I transferred in Snodgrass and then transferred him out before he played a minute in my team. So it was a very weird experience watching that Southampton match the next day with West Ham. And I was like, well, I don't even know what I want here. You know, it's like, I mean, I wanted to do well, but like if he goes for 16 points, I'm going to feel kind of strange right now.
I do feel like the IRS might be reaching out to you for some curious dealings there, some money laundering happening with your FPL squad, perhaps.
So I brought him in. I picked up, you know, 18 points, and Snodgrass finished on 0 points for the DIV. He had a yellow card and got subbed at halftime. So a humongous swing. I bring in Kiko Femenia, who doesn't play a minute, and which means I get Doherty's points off the bench. And so, I mean, you know, so I think there's like a tendency when things go well to be like, oh, I'm just making great decisions. But I think I'm also getting lucky, you know, and getting 5 points off the bench from Doherty.
David Brooks.
Yeah, well, okay. I actually don't know why people were like David Brooks. To me, I was never thinking about benching him. Like, I don't know if anyone else has watched Man United's defense this season, but they're not very good. And David Brooks is like a pretty good attacking player, so I was completely fine playing him.
Definitely will not slag off that decision to start Brooks against Manchester United. But was it 3 game weeks ago in which he scored that brace? So right. And we have extolled his virtues a handful of times on this podcast, and I think he's a legitimately great player. What is astounding about Brooks is that he has become integral to the Bournemouth attack.
Yeah.
And a concern for me, as I've repeatedly said, Ryan Fraser is a season keeper. There's this weird situation going on with him. It's still unclear whether it's a fitness issue for him or if he is just really on the outside looking in at the moment.
I think it is a fitness issue. At least it was a week or so ago, you know, and I don't know if part of it was that they just decided to kind of punt on the Man United game to an extent.
And then they're really targeting Watford on Wednesday to get those 3 points, which is fair enough. So whereas I'm really concerned, and I was saying on our Slack channel earlier today, obviously Ryan Fraser is dead. Well, it looks like Rashford's groin might be dead. That's a problem. But you have to bet money that Ryan Fraser is going to start against Watford. So he continues to stay for me.
Three good fixtures in a row for them too, right? You've got Watford, Everton, West Ham in the next three, Cardiff and Game Week 12. Really 4 out of 5 good fixtures for Bournemouth. So I would actually plan on if I had Fraser, I would definitely keep him in my team. And Brooks, I mean, 5 million. He's now has 5 goals and 2 assists in the season. Only selected by 3.6% of managers, priced at 5 million. So if
he is an excellent footballer.
He is. He's really fun to watch too. I agree. Yeah. He's like corner kicks too. So So I think it's enough about us, Brandon, I guess. I mean, we'll probably keep talking about us. But I mean, a lot has happened over the last 3 game weeks. A lot has happened with Man City assets. A lot has happened with Man United. So just to do a little, you know, recap here of the festive fixtures. Let's start with Man United. I mean, what do you think about how many Man United players is too many? Is two too many? Mm-hmm. Let's assume that one is, you want to have at least one right now, right?
Yeah, Paul Pogba is the one. You could say recency bias, but just look at the last three game weeks. They've come in quick succession, but right. It's unreal, his production. And yeah. If you zoom back, he's the talisman of the team, and he has all the upside. The concern with Rashford is perhaps this injury, but also Lukaku is now coming back into consideration.
Right.
What kind of rotation is going to happen? I would be surprised if Alexis Sanchez doesn't get moved on in this upcoming January window. I don't see him as a huge threat to Rashford's potential, but the ceiling is just so much higher with Paul Pogba. You mentioned earlier, Josh, that Man United's defense is very sketchy. And Luke Shaw was an interesting asset at the start of the season, but I just don't see how there isn't better value when you're looking at guys like Dean and Doherty beyond Shaw. So I'm just not really interested in participating in the United defense.
Even Shaw, right? Yeah, I agree. There's no cheap options, really. $5 million is really too much even for Shaw.
Yeah. If it turns out that Rashford just has a little niggle and I don't have an issue hanging on to him. I think that he will continue to get his minutes and contribute to the team. I mean, the move that he had to free himself up and put that ball across the 6-yard box to Pogba, the start of this Bournemouth game was electric,
yeah.
Right?
I feel like you were a little too sour on Rashford when you talked about bringing him in as a vanilla player. He's like the last two games, he has been really impressive. I mean, he's like really, he looks really good. I mean, he looks less like a striker. I mean, is he playing as a striker? He's kind of playing out wide, right? Like, I don't know.
I do think they interchange because he and Martial can swap flanks. But I think he is intended to play as a traditional number nine. But
right, doing so much work.
Heck if I know.
Yeah. What about the saddest man in football, Anthony Marshall?
Oh God, unreal. I think that just quickly to finish off Rashford, the bias might be, that he's a vanilla player because it's just such a oddball price bracket that we don't have anyone else like him right now this season, priced at 7.2. I would love to see him rise tonight, and then I would actually make 0.1 on him in the selling value.
All right, let me ask you a question. After Mo Salah, I know this is going to sound a little knee-jerk here, but after Mo Salah, is there a more valuable player to have over the next 10 game weeks than Paul Pogba? When you look at their fixtures and you consider his form.
Yeah.
In his price, only $8.1 million, right? Not gonna ruin your team to bring him in.
It's third midfielder price. Let's think about the competition that he would have. I mean, at the higher end, you would say Eden Hazard might be competition.
Harry Kane
is still even slightly higher. Would be Leroy Sané. But what is even going on with that Manchester City side right now?
I mean, I don't know.
They ended up. Making pretty easy work of Southampton, but I didn't think
it was like so unsatisfying that game from a fantasy perspective, right? It was like nobody, it was like all the points were spread out. You had David Silva getting a goal, but nobody has Silva anymore, right? Because he's been, injured for weeks. I mean, Aguero gets like another yellow card, which is like, did he get a yellow card? No, I guess he did.
He did get a yellow card for Robin Van Persie-esque tackle. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So two yellow cards for Aguero in the last two game weeks. I mean, and then Bernardo Silva, who is like kind of one of the more frustrating players in fantasy, right? Cause he's just like, has these long, long stretches where he doesn't do anything. And then he'll sort of pop up with a goal and an assist in a couple game weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a strange time. I brought in Sané and I got 10 points from him the very first game week I had him. And I've had 2-2-1 in the last three. And if you had told me that Leroy Sané was going to get a combined 5 points against Crystal Palace, Leicester and Southampton, I would have thought you were crazy. I mean, I would have thought very least I'm getting an assist out of him, it's just like to get nothing is just shocking. It was very surprising.
The way that City's form just fell off a cliff was probably the most amazing thing that happened over the break. We can talk about Liverpool just opening up this incredible gap at the top of the table, but they've still been playing well throughout the entire season. City just like came to a screeching halt.
Yeah. All right. So Pogba, maybe he's not the most. He's definitely up there. I would think that. I mean, I guess we could talk about Liverpool and Salah a little bit here now too. I mean, Salah has finally. I think the controversy can. The is Salah too expensive controversy or whatever you want to call it debate. Can we finally put it to bed? Right. I mean,
not the Salah is a rich man's Wilfred Zaha controversy and that he's dived for two straight penalties.
Hey, you can't put an arm on the shoulder. OK, in the box, someone gets in the box like that. You have to just you can't hack at their legs. I'm sorry. Like, you got to let him either him shoot and hope he misses, you know, like otherwise it's always a penalty. 21, 2, 12, 12 and 12. That's 6 goals and 3 assists in the last 5 matches. He is overall points leader by 13 points. Yes, he's expensive at 13 million, but I don't know what more you could want from a fantasy asset, right? He's basically captainable in every fixture. That said, I don't think I'll be captaining him away to Man City.
It's I'm here for your arguments to captain him against City. City haven't kept a clean sheet in how many matches is it now? It's kind of incredible. But that will be a heated match. But yeah, Salah is the one thing we haven't seen from Salah yet that made him just so wondrous last season is a curling effort off of his left foot from about 17 yards out.
Yeah.
If he were to do that, then I would say he is entirely back 100%. But what you do see with the eye test is just how bloody ruthless this guy is. And going back to the penalty point we touched upon, he is just looking to score. You saw the quote from Klopp in his post-match interview when he talked about Salah giving Firmino the PK, and Klopp says, I almost started crying because you know how much Mo wants to score goals and the fact that he gave it to his teammate. So ruthless on one hand, but just this determination to win and to have a team elan on the other. So nothing but love for Mo Salah. He's worth all 13.2.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, the watching him and the way he plays. And I think I mentioned before, you know, one of the reasons I captained him in the away match to Bournemouth 4 weeks ago or whatever it was because of how good he had looked when he'd come on as a substitute in the match before that. And this brings me back to the Pogba thing. So there are a lot of different ways to play the game. And, obviously you can sort of mix and match these approaches. And some people are very – some people just really go on, like, feel. Some people go on eye tests. Some people go on statistics, right? And, you know, obviously most of us go on some combination of all three of those. But I do think that I have watched more – I don't actually know if I've watched more matches, but I feel like I've watched more extended highlights. And I've just seen a lot more, like, game film than I have like in recent seasons. I've just been watching game like film. Just I know that sounds like pretentious. I don't know.
I'm just imagining a projector in the back of the room sort of humming and flicking along.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, you know, I've just been like, it just like, it's been like a thing I've been doing like in the evenings, like that, you know, sort of like wind down as I'll watch, you know, extended highlights from recent matches or, you know, just like watch like 30 minutes of a match. And I do think that I think it has made me a better fantasy player. I do think that I think that the actual eye test and like using that to inform my decisions has really been helpful. And I think that maybe I've gotten away from that a little bit, like gotten away from my not trusting my instincts so much. I mean, your instincts, what are your instincts based on, right? They're sort of based on what you see with your eyes, right? When you watch and like a sense of feel. And I'm never going to be a total maverick manager. I just don't have it in me. But I can watch more matches and sort of be like in sort of use that to inform my decisions a little bit. You know, I don't know where I'm trying to make a – sorry, what are you going to say?
No, I want to ask you a question though. I want to ask you, do you believe in ghosts?
I don't believe in ghosts. No, sorry.
if you think you saw an apparition, would you try to explain it away with science and logic and reason, or would you want to believe like you're Agent Mulder?
I think I would try to explain it away. I'm sorry to say, yeah. Brendan. Yeah.
I don't know, I'm trying to somehow equate belief in ghosts and perhaps even if you could throw UFOs into this with the eye test in FPL. I don't see it working. I follow your logic, though. Yeah, it's beyond – I don't think we have to categorize it in I guess just to underscore your point. You're making a very good FPL point, but the eye test is also just watching and enjoying the games. You have to still participate as a fan and a spectator of the game. You have to feel. All right, I'll get even more woo woo than you. You have to feel the game. You have let it flow through you, and that will actually help you. You cannot break the game with stats. Yes, of course they will help you, but I agree. I think the better players will have to be fans of the game, watchers of the game. Despite that, wasn't there like 5 years ago, there was a winning manager, maybe he lived in Singapore or Australia, somewhere on the other hemisphere, who won first place in FPL without watching a single game.
There's lots of different ways to do it. And some of I was just thinking of two of our Patreon supporters, Dave Wagner-Lodahl and Nick Wright, who were both really smart, very stat-based managers, really, think about the game that way. Also extremely passionate, really love watching football, right? Like they're not, so I don't want to create some dichotomy where it's like some of us enjoy the matches and some of us use stats. It's not like that. I just think that it is actually watching more matches is using being in flow or whatever, I don't, getting very woo-woo here, but it's like when I had two transfers this week and I watched the Man United match and I was like, well, it's more sensible to bring in Martial or Lingard, but I want Pogba. Like he's the best player. He's the player. He's the one who's doing well. He looks amazing. Like the strike last week for his second goal was an unbelievable strike, right? It was the player who was in full confidence.
It was Felipe Anderson-esque.
It was Felipe. And I was just like, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to bring him in. And I just don't think I would have done that had I not watched that match. And I don't know. So anyway, it could be that, he did well today and I'm using that to retroactively justify my decision. I don't know, and maybe having Kiko is going to really screw up my team at some point. But that was the rationale. Get me out of this conversation, Brad.
Okay, I'll get you out of it. The one transfer in my squad recently that I can talk about is on the hunch that maybe Sterling, based on City's form, and the hunch that maybe Sterling has to sit out today against Southampton, I bring in Hazard. This is a reverse move of what worked for me so beautifully. Was I dropped Hazard right before he fell off a cliff and right when Sterling came into form. Sterling is falling out of form. I missed Hazard's brace in game week 19. So I'm points chasing a little bit. But here we are with a blank from Hazard in game week 20. And now you're talking about Pogba, and we can put him into the same conversation. You have guys like Pogba and Hazard and Sané and Sterling who have been doing troll-like things. And this is not the first season that any of them have done this to us. Right. So that's probably the lingering.
We have to reconsider the word troll too, right? I mean, I feel like I listened back to last week's the last podcast. I was really harsh on Hazard, and it was probably a little unnecessary. I think I was just personally annoyed that I had held on to him for so long, during all of these blanks. And then for him to catch on fire the second I dropped him. I mean, we all feel frustrated when that kind of thing happens.
Yeah. And I would stand by what we said and what I said about Hazard last week, where I feel like he is a risk and he is a long-term bet, but a short-term liability. So I took on that liability bringing him in for game week 20. But yeah, I think that that's the one concern you could raise with Pogba, is he has shown a streakiness. But something's happening at Man United right now. And maybe this can help round out this overarching festive period conversation is me talking about bringing in Son and Rashford as sensible picks, but knowingly, short to midterm picks.
Right.
And despite what you feel about Pogba, maybe you will have to get rid of him, but that's not a bad thing. that something is happening with that team right now. You can, I mean, the statistics will tell you, your eye test will tell you, they look fantastic, as does Pogba. So I think you really can't deny his value right now.
All right, Brendan, let's get out of the woo-woo section here. Take a quick break. We'll get back with a couple more topics. Okay, Brendan, we're back. We have some Patreon thank yous. Producer, patron. This is actually an upgrade, Brendan. This guy, you ever seen the movie Upgrade? Great movie.
Is that where that guy gets some computer virus in his body and then just kills everyone?
I don't know. I've never actually seen it. I just know there's a movie called Upgrade. Thank you to Danny Evans, who has become a new producer level patron. Very much appreciated, Danny. Thank you.
Please don't hurt us, Danny, with your new upgrade, with your new upgraded body.
Also have some new and McConnie patrons, Sasha Cole, Michael Shade, Vetley Nordley, Severud. Sorry, Vetley. Stephen Drew, David Newell, and TPRPLR. Thank you to TPRPLR and the rest of our new patrons.
Turper purpler. Interesting. We'll have to decipher that code. Yes. If you are interested in just thanking us for what we do or finding out more about what it is to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/OAIscheating.
Brendan, a lot going on for our patrons right now. We have a second half league that just kicked off in game week 20. If you would like to take part in that, it'll just take your score beginning in game week 20, no matter when you become a patron, no matter when you join the league. The winner of that gets to pick anything they want from the Always Cheating shop. We have a book. We don't have a book. We have a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, and a mug in there. Maybe we'll have a book someday. We got lots of stuff in there. And we also have, you can invite it to the Slack. We have a bunch of patron exclusive podcasts coming this month, including something new that I'm hoping to roll out. I'm going to talk to you about that later this evening. So if you'd like to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Once again, thank you to Danny, Sasha, Michael, Vetley, Stephen, David, and TPRLPR.
Josh, we have a couple of topics for today's podcast before we get to the game week 21 preview. You were texting me the other day. You had something that you wanted to say about basically anger management. And what we see going some of our listeners, I'm not sure how to quantify the number of listeners. Is it a lot? Is it a little who aren't on social media? But right. There is, of course, a vibrant FPL community on social media. But I think the idea of rage and your relationship with FPL sort of affecting other aspects of your life is relatable both in social media and other ways. But specifically, what are you seeing happening right now, or at least recently on social?
I just think it really is like, so there's this post by, for those who aren't on Twitter, and you're lucky if you're not, because it's, I'm not sure it's healthy, Brendan. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There was a post from Matt Kearney, who's Bowstring the Carp on Twitter, and he was basically like, I am done. I'm done for the season. I'll see you guys in 2019. And it really became like a big debate. And some people were like, oh, like grow up. And other people were like, see you later, man. We'll see you next fall. Like take it easy. Mm-hmm. I sort of thought about it. And of course I completely understand, because I know that feeling well. And honestly, there have been times where if we didn't have the podcast, I could see myself really, not this season, but like in seasons past. Like I remember like a season and a half ago, I think it was maybe two seasons ago. I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I'm just so like the joy to pain ratio was completely off. And I was thinking about this post from Matt Kearney, and some of the stuff he was talking about, I was like, I think I'm feeling that a little bit too. And I think it's just like, there's so many matches and such a feeling of like, wanting to stay sort of connected with everybody on social media. And I think this is true even if you don't have like a podcast you're promoting or a website or a community that you're engaged in, whatever it is, just feeling of like, you are so consumed by it. And, and then the problem is like, it really makes you appreciate how nice it is to have the 2 weeks off for the international breaks, or even just the week between matches, and how much you really can normally go 4 or 5 days without thinking about fantasy at all, and how like unbelievably healthy that is, to not. And I just, so I read this, and I was actually, because I had been talking to a friend, I actually this morning I went to a friend's house, and we built our friend Trevor, who's actually a producer patron for the podcast, and we hadn't been set up the crib, and I texted him on Friday. I know that he knows I'm like fantasy obsessed, right? And he is too. And I was like, listen, let's get this crib going. Don't pay attention to the mattress. I don't even want to think about them. Let's just hang out. Let's set this thing up. And it was like, I felt like I really had to actively like say, no, I don't want fantasy to be like, I feel like this is the time of year when suddenly you're like, wait, like, am I like not doing things I should be like, am I not like spending time with my family? Like, you know, am I like really giving stuff up just to watch TV, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, how do you feel about this? Like, are you, I mean, cause you're pretty engaged in all this stuff as well. Even if you know, maybe you don't tweet as often as I do, you're very much, you know, everything that's going on.
Yeah, I am very engaged. I follow the community, even if I don't engage all the time. And I think the most compelling part of the argument is how does your hyper engagement with the game impact other aspects of your life, be it relationships or work or just keeping up with other things that you ought to be that might be equally fulfilling, like exercise or reading or other right. other endeavors. These are the things that I think about. But the fact is we started playing fantasy because we were really interested in the Premier League. And I can see the argument of, you know what, I really just – one thing I do think about is what would it be like to wake up on the weekends and watch an entire slate of fixtures with no – fantasy team implications.
Yeah.
Could I do it?
Yeah.
So there's something about the combination of the Premier League just being this huge behemoth of a product that is seemingly always on. And then you put on top of that a fantasy game, which is even more always on. It's so much. And like we talk all the time, you compare it to NFL. NFL is a very short and sweet fantasy period. You can throw all your eggs in that basket, but it's going to be done by the time you get to January, and then you can move on with your life.
Yep, exactly.
But if I'm doing poorly, one thing I've adopted this cliche of we go again, and mm-hmm. I've turned it into I have been having a really good season, and I had a bit of a wobble earlier, and I really adopted the cliche of we go again. And I was interested in testing myself. Like you'll have a bad game week, and it will really tear you apart to the point where you're going to be, maybe you're short with your spouse or your partner, or you're just in a bad mood, or you end up just going and drinking too much or all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a person out here who has had a bad fantasy week and wasn't short with somebody when they really shouldn't have been, I would like to. You're probably not listening to this podcast because you have a healthier relationship to fantasy than you and I do, right. And everyone who's listening.
Yeah, but the idea of just picking yourself up and going again, even though, and we've seen other peers of ours who are known fantasy players or in the FPL media, like The General or Tom Cantel on Who Got the Assist, who have had real troublesome starts to the season. And you see, there is a way to take a positive outlook and say, well, you know, this is just the way it's going for me. I'm going to test myself and see if I can either A, turn it around, or B, just sort of accept it and set a new standard for myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I guess this is like we had a question from Tom Campbell, another person who has a very – Tom Campbell, you know, we're both big fans of Tom Campbell. He's I don't know if any, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't follow him on social media or talk to him on our Slack or whatever, he's just one of those people who like seems to have the right balance, you know?
You had said when we actually had the pleasure of meeting Tom in London that he is like the mayor, and
he's like the mayor.
He embodies the spirit of, if anyone were to be elected mayor of FPL writ large, it would probably be Tom Campbell.
Yeah, and he had a question about an early wild card, and he said, you know, it's worked out well for you guys in the past, and just whether you advise to do it. And I think that even asking that question is like indicative of the right attitude, right? Which is like, maybe you do have to change, you know, like, there's an ideal way to play, right? There's like you have your first wild card and you have the second wild card. And ideally you wait until game week 32 to use it or whatever, you know, and then you use those chips 1, 2, 3, you know, games 34, 36 and 38 or whatever. And it's like, you know, you sort of follow this like very like sort of rhythmic process. And I think that it's feeling like you've got to play a certain way. That especially around this time of the year can really bring you down when you're like, well, I can't use my wild card because I got to save it for later. But you know, the last two seasons when things weren't going well, I used a wild card to great effect, jumping, you know, hundreds of thousands of points and then being able to stay up there once I did it. So I think an early wild card can make a lot of sense. I mean, I think you have to really think about whether you can just clean your team up without using the wild card. Ideally, you know, you can. But let's say you can't. Let's say like you've just got 5 or 6 mistakes in your team right now, and you want a wild card early on. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, would you do it?
I would not.
Let's say you were 430,000 in the world.
Yeah, I would not, and I think it's difficult to predict what the points trade-off is, but think about if you wait longer to play your wild card, you wait longer where there is a perfect turn in the fixtures or certain players come to fore or most importantly, double game weeks. What's the trade-off in points? Right now, maybe you can chart a course where you can burn 4-8 points for a couple of weeks. If you're hovering around 500K or you're in the millions, docking yourself -4 or -8 isn't going to sink you. And maybe you have in your head that just burning 4 is going to contribute to the problem, but it is a way to just turn things around, to dump some of that dead weight with that you haven't been able to get rid of because you've been trying to stick to one free transfer a week. So I would be much more in favor of a big stance on burning a bunch of points as opposed to an early wild card right here in January. Now,
I'm gonna disagree with you there. Here's my feeling. You can burn those points, but you're already down. So burning those points means you're gonna sink even further down, right? And if those point hits don't pay off immediately, then you're really gonna get depressed. Like it's almost like there's like an emotional reason for doing the wild card. You know, it's just like it's like a fresh start. And maybe you end up burning points, but you do it later on in the season, like to load up on double game week players and things like that. I think I agree that it might be a little bit too early, but I think by late January, I think you can really get away with it. Cause you know, by then you have a pretty good sense of, you know, who's going to be in the, like the League Cup final, for example, like which players are going to have some missed fixtures and some double game weeks coming up. And that's something I really try to keep in mind, when I did my early wild cards the last couple seasons is, you know, what players am I going to want to have in 10 game weeks, you know, like when the double game weeks come around, it might be a little too early to figure that out still. But I just think in general, I think there's something to be said for just feeling like you play that wild card and you're just starting over, you know, in a way. And maybe it hurts you because you don't have a chance in game week 34, or you know, maybe it does ultimately hurt you, you know, but at least for the next 14 game weeks, you can have fun, you know, and you're not going to like have this kind of all these point hits that may or may not work out. Yeah. Obviously the wild card may not work out either.
Well, yeah, to that point, I think the most important thing before you do anything, be it take a hit or play your wild card, is have you really identified what the problems are in your team?
Right.
Is the problem that you just don't have Pogba? Is the problem that you really want Harry Kane? And really think about what's the best way for you to get from where you are now to where you want to be. And maybe it ultimately doesn't require a wild card where you think it does. Maybe you actually don't hate your team as much as you think you do.
Right. Yeah. It's all very context dependent, but if you're like loaded up with injuries and Son's about to leave for the Asian Cup and you just feel like you need a fresh start, then I think play it, you know, and just deal with the consequences, in March, you know, but have fun until then.
Hey, let the bodies hit the floor, Josh.
Exactly. All right, Brandon, did we finish up our social media thing? Oh, so I just, final thought on social media. I do think that taking a break, taking a weekend off, taking a week away, you know, it's all fine. No one's going to forget about you, you know, like no one's going like, you know, the world will keep on spinning for you and for everybody else if you just walk away for a week. And I know that when I take even just a couple days away from Twitter or just kind of do like minimal posting to share the podcast or something like that, I am like really refreshed and I have a lot more fun engaging with people instead of it feeling like it's like a mandatory slog, you know? And like, and I'm sure some people are listening who aren't on social media and they're like, why would you ever feel this way? But like, you do start to feel that way, you know? Like you feel like you've got to respond to every post or you have to weigh in, you know, on debates about transfers or whatever. And suddenly you're like, man, like I haven't done anything today but send 8,000 tweets, you know, yeah. And I don't feel like I'm any closer to knowing what to do with my own team anyway. You know,
so, here's a fun social tip, you know, on Twitter, you're not subject just to your stream. You can just start a direct message thread with two or three or four people that you really get along with. And you can have just an ongoing conversation happening there. And maybe that's a fun way for you to still stay on social, but just keep interacting with people who might be giving you the right kind of feedback for where you are right now.
You can even do it on our Slack, Brandon. There's private channels on there too.
Booyah! Brandon,
all right, let's take one more break and then let's talk about Game Week 21.
Okay. Josh, we're entering a new year, 2019, and maybe the same old FPL game, but try something new in 2019. Why don't you try Starting 11? It's live Premier League fantasy that is free or for cash prizes. Starting 11 is an app that is now available for your iPhone and Android device. Any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches, you can pick your best 11-man squad with no budget restrictions. Man, I really wish I had Pogba going into that Bournemouth game. Josh, are we going to have a whole separate podcast about how terrible Bournemouth's defense is?
Oh, I mean, there's so many teams that could be in that podcast, Brandon. I could do 5 hours on bad defense right now. I mean, clean sheets are dead, okay? That's why you can have four 4.9 million defenders right now, because clean sheets are dead. Okay, go on.
Yeah. But back to Starting 11, you can bring Pogba in for that Bournemouth match, and there are so many parallels to FPL in Starting 11, where you get to choose a captain to get double points. But they are improving on the formula. It's all positive. Pogba is prone to not hitting the frame. You get points in Starting 11 for shots that are even
just about
off target.
I was just about to say that. Exactly. One of the best things about this game is it does not punish attacking players. So you don't have to watch these really fun attacking players and think, oh, dispossessed again. Great. Now I won't pick up any points today.
Yeah, so tinker with your 11-man squad. Give it just the way you want. And live as the games are playing out, you can make live in-app substitutions as the games unfold. So, but more importantly, you can play Starting 11 for cash. If you're on an iOS device, cash games are live in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. If you're on an Android phone, you can play for cash in the UK, or just pick up the app and play for free anywhere you are in the world. Mini leagues have come to Starting 11. They came late in 2018, but let's say they're a great invention for the year of 2019. It's Absolutely. Mini league season. So start mini leagues with your friends, join pre-existing mini leagues there in the app. It's a great way to join in. Josh, where can people get more information?
They can visit starting11.io. And Brandon, just a final note. We always like to note this because, Brandon, there's a lot of different ways to gamble out there. But if you were listening to this podcast, you're probably a borderline fantasy expert, right? Or somebody who really enjoys fantasy, understands the game very well. Why not gamble using, like, with a game you actually understand? Like, why not, you know, like, use the knowledge that you've built up over these many fantasy seasons and put it to use by making money using Starting 11.
Exactly. So visit starting11.io for more details and helpful video tutorials and get started today.
All right, Brandon, we're back. Game Week 21 kicks off on New Year's Day. Brandon, we were just talking about social media and managing games. There are way too many games on Wednesday and Thursday when I'm back in the office. I need a plan for this. Like, I don't know what your plan is right now, but I've just been off work for 13 days. I cannot track these matches. It's going to be a complete mess. Well,
most importantly, so the Thursday match between City and Liverpool will kick off at 3 p.m. for us here on the East Coast. I can't imagine a world in which I don't watch this game. live.
But I'm going to have to do a blackout, a full blackout. No social media. I'm not even going to log onto the internet. I'm going to like go and like with like, I'm going to do my work in my office, like on a notepad or something. I'm going to turn off all updates. I know that I'm still going to find out. I know there's like no way that I won't find out, but I'll do my best not to find out. Cause that match is going to be, I mean, it's one of the most important matches of the year. If it's anything like the 4-3 match last season, then it's going to be, incredible. I mean, I don't really know what to expect in that game. Man City finally played a little better. Okay, just to bring it back to fantasy for a second here, are there any captainable assets in the Man City Liverpool game?
Yeah, we talked about Salah closer to the start of the podcast, and I think people are rightfully pinpointing City's defense. It's a real problem for them. It has been for months now. They can't keep a clean sheet.
Yep.
Liverpool are going to run at Man City. I think that they are going to try to just break through that defense. I imagine that's going to be their strategy. We saw a 0-0 draw earlier this season. Mahrez missed that penalty. So there is precedent for a lot of attacking play, but no results to show for it. But something tells me that Liverpool are hitting their stride at exactly the right moment for this match and that they will be putting a few goals past that Man City defense.
I would expect, I mean, everyone scores in Man City right now. So I would expect Liverpool to score in this game as well. The rise Firmino getting that hat trick is kind of interesting. I think two of those goals were kind of fluky, I suppose. And then the third was a pen. But I guess the first two were at least like, you know, a sign of his renewed attacking thrust, which I think probably helps that whole team. I don't think that he's him being more of a goal. I mean, first of all, he's not going to stay on pens, right? That was a one-time thing. I do think that, when he's in great form, I mean, it's interesting. Like, I mean, this is a topic for an upcoming podcast, but I do think that doubling up on Liverpool is something that I'm going to have in my sights at some point soon. I mean, Aubameyang down to Firmino to turn Sané into Hazard would be a move that I would consider. I don't know. Not this game week, obviously, but you know, from game week 22 on, it's quite a nice run for Liverpool. You know, Brighton, Palace, Leicester, West Ham, Bournemouth, really a nice stretch there. It's something to think about.
Yeah. My big question for game week 21 is I am looking to move Aguero to Aubameyang or Harry Kane. Harry Kane looks like the better option, but both of these fixtures on Tuesday are really appealing from a captaincy perspective. Arsenal host Fulham. They demolished Fulham. I mean, I understand it's a different regime there now, but that's a really great fixture for Aubameyang, who was subbed off earlier than he's ever been this season. So I expect he'll be fresh for that match. But Kane, I mean, His stats were, you know, predictably appalling, as they kind of have been intermittently throughout the entire season, though he just scored one of his best goals.
It was a great goal.
Leathered it. He totally leathered it.
And, I mean, Aubameyang's stats were appalling too, right? Like that stat.
Yes.
I think he had 12 touches.
Yeah,
six were on kickoffs. It was pretty awful for him. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, the real problem there is Aaron Ramsey was not, you know, just he couldn't replace Mesut Ozil without Mkhitaryan. They don't really have a central midfielder right now, like a central attacking midfielder. And I think it's really hurting their ability to get the ball to Aubameyang. I mean, he's still going to always score his like kind of poacher's goals. And that goal he scored in the Brighton match was a classic Aubameyang goal, where it's just like ball's pinging around. He gets a little bit of light, you know, and then it's like, boom, like, you know, right corner. I guess it's a little bit like Kane actually. I mean, you know, just Wolves, you know, stepped off him for a minute and he found like a little window and he's like, yep, I'm gonna rip this from 25 yards.
Rip it, son. Is this the great irony of Arsenal though? A team that was known for being lousy with creative attacking midfielders, and now, you know,
they have none
for one. Yeah, they have none. Where do they all go?
I don't know. And then Ozil, I guess, you know, he's dropped at halftime for technical reasons, and they, you know, they make up some bogus, you know, rumor that he's got a knee injury or something, and that's why he didn't play away to Liverpool. If he's back for this Fulham match, I do like I do like Aubameyang as a captain. I actually think my captaincy is on Kane right now. That's my bus team has Kane as a captain. I just think that they need a win, right? I mean, they had kind of an embarrassing loss away to Wolves, at home to Wolves, and the players were tired. I wonder if there's some rotation in the midfield. I don't think that Kane gets rest. I think Son is a possible candidate for rest, just if he's been used the way he's typically been used. Although his form is so good that they might start him anyway. But it's just an important match for them. I mean, Cardiff's defense is you know. Not particularly. I mean, Etheridge is good, I guess. But, you know, I would expect Spurs to score like 3 goals in that match. And I think that Kane will be involved. I actually like him a little more away from home anyway. So I think I'm going Kane. I also think the Fulham have tightened up just enough defensively. I mean, you know, keeping, what, 2 clean sheets in 3 now. You know, Callum Chambers actually is a player who might be worth considering going forward as a fifth defender, right? He's only 4.2 million.
He's going home. The narrative is there for him to score against Arsenal. Can he even play?
He can't play, unfortunately. Right, of course.
It's a loan deal.
Yeah, but he's definitely, you know, he's definitely one to moving forward. So I just want to think about starting game week 22. So that for those reasons, I've got Kane captain. I also think that Aubameyang has like at least a 20% chance of getting rested for this match, just because he's played so many minutes. I don't think he will. I think he'll get rested for the FA Cup over the weekend. But you know, I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if they were just like, this guy's burned out. He needs a rest. And you know, even though he, you know, I mean, this is like just, I think I had like kind of a, my perspective on rest has changed a little bit. You know, I don't know. It's like, I think they just really, it's like a game by game thing more than I think in my head, it's like, maybe it's cause I think about this as a fantasy manager and I could look 5 fixtures ahead and I think, okay, these are the easy ones and these are the hard ones, you know, and they're going to get rested in the easy ones. And it just doesn't work that way. I think it's like, it's really like day by day and they see where these guys are. And, you know, if they're starting to redline a little bit, then they just have to get a rest no matter who they're playing, you know? Yeah. So anyway, I do think that Kane is the option here. Is there anyone else? I mean, you've got Hazard at home to Southampton. That's kind of
absolutely. Too. Bus team armband is on Hazard right now, home to Southampton. The Chelsea, who the heck did they play today? Crystal Palace. The first half of that Chelsea Crystal Palace match, I mean, Hazard looked like the only Chelsea player who was actually interested, and capable of going forward. So that would be the big worry is just how in the groove is Chelsea as a whole. But Hazard, even though he blanked, still looks like he is in the swing of things. He's in form. Chelsea is very reliant on him. Yep. He has always been a player who prefers playing at Stamford Bridge. And Southampton, even though, to use your phrase, tightened up under new management, you don't have the best defense. So I like that fixture for Hazard.
They couldn't tighten up if they wanted to, really.
Yeah, I mean, no personnel, you know, for it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're playing, you know.
McCarthy had some insane saves today.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm sort of like, there was a moment where I was sort of tempted by Bednarek, you know, 3.9 million player.
Go on.
Started the last 5 matches for Southampton. But, I mean, he started 5 matches. He has 4 points in those 5 matches, right? He's got 2-0, 2-0, 0, right? I mean, he's just, you know, their defense is just not – it's just not up to snuff, you know. And
considering they'll be playing without Højlberg, the attacking phenom, they'll really have to just set up the bus.
That was a weird moment for me, by the way, having Sané comes on in the 85th minute or whatever, and I'm looking at Højlberg, and I think he was on 2 bonus points at that point. So I'm like, man, I was like, this like 1 pointer is going to cost me a 9 pointer from Højlberg. Minutes later, gets the red card, and suddenly it's 4 points versus 1. I was like, well, okay, fine. I guess I can, I don't know. It's like, it didn't really matter one way or the other, but it was like, at least, you know, you didn't have that sting of leaving points. I was never going to start him against Man City, of course.
Oh yeah. Phil Billing. He's like, our friend Stephanie Anderson, who's in our league with us, she was talking about Hazard a couple seasons ago. She talks about him as this player where he's like being at the grocery store and you're trying to pick the fastest line to get to the cash register. And you're like, you'll jump on the line that you think is faster. Then it turns out the other line is going faster and you just can't ever quite get it right. And That is very much how I feel with players on my bench or leaving points on the bench, like Phil Billing. Like, I know the dude is capable of doing something in particular right. fixtures, but and the day, the week, the game weeks when I'm really excited to roll him out, of course he'll do nothing or he won't even play. right. The only times he'll ever score is when he's on my bench.
Yep. Yeah. It's there's yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like Højbjerg, I guess I started him once in that Arsenal match, and that was, you know, I've had him for 15 weeks now. I started him one time, yeah. and of course I got a 2-pointer that one time I did it.
What about Newcastle? So we talked a lot about Manchester United in this episode and their away to Newcastle. What do we think about this match? What do we think about Newcastle's defensive personnel?
Well, if I didn't love Kane's fixture away to Cardiff, I have like a lot of tempting. Are we still talking about the captaincy here or just in general? I mean, in general, I really like Man United away to Newcastle. I mean, I think that Newcastle have not been particularly strong at home. I would expect Manchester United to score 2 or 3 goals in this match. And I expect Pogba to be involved. So, I mean, he's definitely a tempting captain. But I don't know. I just rank him third behind Kane and Aubameyang.
Right. So if we were to say Aubameyang, Kane, Hazard, we're leaving Man City and Liverpool out of this, the odds of somebody only having Pogba and not having any of the three, Hazard, Kane, or Aubameyang, is slim. So yeah. Pogba's so far back in our thinking that he's not really an option.
Is it not fair to Mo Salah that we're not even putting him in the top like 4? I mean, you know, the guy is in unbelievable form the last 5 game weeks. I mean, he could end up being the high scoring player this game week, right? It wouldn't be shocking.
Yep. Yeah.
Had a goal and assist away to Man City last season. That incredible fourth goal, which I think we all remember from like midfield, right? Where he gets catches Ederson flat footed. So I do think that he's probably a pretty decent vice captain this game week. Like if you're worried about rotation with any of your players, like, sure. You know, you could stick it on.
The ceremonial captaincy, the MBE of captaincy.
Exactly. You never know when you're going to need it. Any other matches you want to talk about? Everton, Leicester. I feel like I dodged a bullet with Richarlison. I don't know if you watched any of that Everton match.
I did. I saw him put that match off the post at least. But yeah, he was definitely very high up in my thoughts when I was considering bringing Son in. And yeah, Richarlison is a tough player right now because I feel like if he's one that you have, you don't want to get rid of him. But he hasn't given you a whole lot to cheer about. Even the goal that he scored in game week 19, he kind of saves your team by coming off the bench in that match, goes on to score, then immediately goes on to take his shirt off and get a yellow card. The most annoying thing that can happen any fantasy manager.
The Jimenez moment was like that. And I don't know if this is how you were watching, Brandon, but I was the NBC in the United States has a thing called Goal Rush.
The Goal Rush. I had the same experience.
So they were cutting away another match, and suddenly I look up in the corner. And I'm like, "Is that Jimenez celebrating a goal?"
Yeah,
like, go back. So they go to him, and then the immediate shot is of him taking his shirt off, and it's like,
no.
Even though I know, I've got the
he
goal.
He had another shirt on.
Exactly. I was like, maybe it's okay.
But it's the same color. Amazing. What's the difference?
It's such a great fantasy greedy moment where you're like, you know, you're about to get points for the goal. You're probably going to get bonus points. It's like it's an away match to Spurs. Like you can't expect anything from him in this game. And your immediate thought is just like, put your shirt on, dude. What are you doing?
I mean, the most phenomenal goal celebration ever is Firmino used to do this often. I haven't seen him do it in a long time, but he used to look like he's going to take his shirt off and then stop and wag his finger like, no, yeah. You get a yellow card.
Yeah, yesterday would have been the day to do that, right? I mean,
yes,
that
third goal. For sure. So here's a thought exercise for us. If you're Jimenez, and no, so you can wear shirts. Some players wear shirts that have special messages like happy birthday, mom, under their jersey. If you were wearing the exact same kit top under your jersey, like it is exactly the same, you take it off to reveal the exact same thing, is that a yellow card offense? Or could you just say, I was too hot?
I guess by the letter of the law, you are removing your shirt. right?
Yeah, right.
You are not, right. even though you have the shirt on still, you are removed. So I think you might still get a yellow card. Yeah. Although I really want to see that now. That'd be amazing. By the way, Jimenez, 6 goals and 6 assists on the season, $6.3 million, still a great option. They have one difficult fixture in their next 10. They play Man City win game week 22. But other than that, it is just a sea of good fixtures. I am so happy to be tripled up on Wolves right now. I think there's a lot of points to come for them. And I would – if you got a little off Wolves for a little while because they had kind of a rough run, I would start to consider getting back on because I like their attack right now. I mean, okay. So we have the obvious candidates, right? We've got Patricio. We've got Doherty. And Jimenez, is there anyone else on Wolves that catches your fancy a little bit? Anyone who you would, you know, consider bringing in? I mean, Helder Costa is somebody who stands out a little bit, maybe just because he's so cheap, right? It's $4.8 million.
Absolutely. Johnny Otto, who's back from injury, he's priced at 4.3. So that's like
so cheap.
Bennett was the steal of the century at 4.0 at the start of the season. He's still a viable budget option at 4.1, but Johnny Otto is he's just as attacking as Doherty. He's not as he just hasn't hit the same stride that he has, but 4.3 I think is a great deal. So if you already have your keeper situation sorted, I think you'll see a lot of people doubled up on Wolves defense just by virtue of having Doherty and Patricio. So I don't think it's beyond the pale to double up just on their wingers in Johnny and Doherty. So that would be my pick of all of them. If you're looking at attacking players, it just feels a little too punty apart from Jimenez.
It's too bad that Jota got injured, like just as he came back into form, because he would have been a fun kind of cheap, low ownership option. Ivan Caviero has played really well the last few game weeks. He's maybe one to consider, although his minutes have been a little inconsistent. Moutinho, I think, is not a player I would consider. He just doesn't score enough, really.
It's all too much total football for me. Like, these guys are all – and Moutinho kind of embodies this, and he really did help change the game when he came on as a sub. But all these guys are basically doing so many different jobs, so it's hard for them to focus on in the way you see Liverpool attackers who can get away with being a little lax on defense.
It's actually Jimenez is another example of this, right? I mean, that guy, like, it's amazing how often, like, there's some big defensive play and you're like, wait, is that Jimenez? It's like all the way back, making a like diving stop in the box or something.
So
definitely let's keep an eye on Wolves. I think that's good enough, Brennan, for our preview. Let's bring the matches on. You know how it is. Once you have a good game week, you're like, yep, I want more matches.
Let's go. I think we'll be happy, even though we're in the groove and you're in the groove, Josh. It will be nice to have a prolonged break. This is like the one break where I think we don't moan about it because, man, I am fatigued.
Everybody loves that first FA Cup break. It is because like there's still some games on. If you want to get your fix, but you know you can do some, like, it's a weekend for some pure watches. Maybe a weekend to reconnect with the family, Brandon. Maybe you need to go, you know, fly back to Michigan and make up for some lost time. Go see.
Nope, I was just there. I was just there, dude. So I am not going back. Here's the thing. I gave my wife a gift certificate to this rock climbing gym. I'm not ready to go at Brooklyn Boulders. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I have to focus on getting myself tooled up to actually. Because I don't believe I have any upper body strength at all right now. So maybe I'm just going to pick up some dumbbells.
You know, Brandon actually picked up some of those kettlebells recently. They're kind of nice. Like, that sort of, it is a good way to build up that upper body. You can burn some calories too. So consider that.
Outstanding. If FPL isn't building up my upper body strength, then a kettlebell will.
Exactly. All right, Brennan, that's a wrap on this week's podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast and if you want to say thank you, you go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can also say thank you by just going to iTunes, leaving a review, or just listening to the podcast. Listening to the podcast and downloading it is enough of a thank you as well.
Thanks, Brennan, enough.
Thanks enough. We have some producer thank yous. Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Laney Granley, Chris Howell, Rafai Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, DeBig Gaffer, and Danny Evans. Ooh, it's a nice long producer list there, Brandon.
And yeah, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, anywhere that you pick up your podcast, your favorite app of any kind. We're there. Let us know if you can't find us on your preferred podcast source, and we'll figure it out. But we're everywhere. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, H-A-I-L Cheaters. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com. And for all this information and more, you can always visit our website, alwayscheating.com. And on the homepage of alwayscheating.com, we will post the top 10 every week of our Always Cheating Super League, which we didn't get to because the game is still updating, Josh. But if you're ever interested in who's in top gear in the Always Cheating Super League, just go to alwayscheating.com, and it's never too late to join. We're 5,000 plus managers strong.
It's very strong, Brandon. It's a million strong and growing, like a Flintstone vitamin. So very good. And is that how that went? A million strong and growing?
10,000. It's like how many burgers did they put on the McDonald's sign? It keeps yes, changing.
Billions and billions serves. Yep, exactly. All right, Brandon. Good luck and Happy New Year's to you.
Happy New Year, Poku. I know you're out there.
Happy New Year alerts all off. May 2019 be better than 2018 was for you.
Here.